Greetings in the Savior's most worthy name. If you were to visit Werden, Germany, and ask about the image of a lamb carved high up on the old church, you would be told about the workman who, while working on the building, fell and most certainly expected to be crushed to death on the stones below. He escaped unhurt, for there, among the stone heaps, a lamb had been nibbling on the scanty tufts of grass, and on this animal, the workman had fallen. The lamb was crushed to death. The man, so strangely saved from death, had had the carving erected in grateful, lasting memory of his deliverance from a cruel death. Friend of mine, there was another lamb that was crushed. He was called the Lamb of God. He was crushed beneath the judgment of the wrath of God because of your sins and mine. This lamb was the Lord Jesus Christ, crushed beneath my sin and yours. As the bearer of sin, he died on Calvary's cross. Yes, exalted high above all is the Lamb of God, to whom we ascribe glory and honor, both now and forever, for our deliverance, not from physical death, but from the second death. Have you ever been delivered? Have you ever trusted the Lamb of God who bore your sin in his body when he died in your room instead, crushed beneath the judgment of the wrath of a sin-hating God because of your sin and mine? Ponder this truth. Think about this example. Let us pray, our God and Father, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even Father, in the name of the Lamb of God who did bear our sin in his own body outside the city walls of Jerusalem. Father, through him we come to you today asking for blessing. Father, that those listening today might be built up in the faith as they hear the word of God, that is, those who know thee as Savior. And Father, may any who are still, Father, unsheltered by the blood of Christ, any who are unconverted to the Lamb of God, Father, may this day be their day of decision, their time when they will receive by faith what you did for them at Calvary. Father, may they then have the joy of knowing their sins are forgiven, for we ask it again, giving our thanks in his worthy name. Amen. It was January 1961. The American Council in the Congo issued the following broadcast over the shortwave network. Leave the Congo as quickly as you can by the nearest way out, under United Nations protection, if possible. These instructions must not be treated lightly. After hearing that broadcast, missionaries of the Congo, many who had spent their life, 25 or 30 years in this place, had decisions to make. They would only be allowed a few suitcases to pack all their belongings out of the many things that they had accumulated throughout their lifetime in service to the Lord in the Congo. I wonder, friend of mine, if suddenly you received such a notice that you would have to evacuate your home, that you would have to pick up what belongings you could put into a suitcase or two and leave, what things would you find most valuable? What items would prove most precious to you? The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon, and when he does, he will take from this world those items that are most valuable to him, those things that he calls precious. Do you have any idea what it will be that Christ will take from this condemned, doomed, damned world when he comes back and takes before the judgment, before the wrath, those things that are most precious in the eye of God? We read, as we have for a number of weeks now, from Ephesians chapter 5, Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. When the blessed Lord Jesus Christ returns, that same one who is and was the Lamb of God who died for us, when he returns to this scene that soon will be a scene of wretched judgment, he will take from this world, from this scene, those blood-bought, born-again Christians, those children of God, those sinners saved by grace, those who make up that body called his church. He's going to leave behind all the buildings that people refer to as a church. He's going to leave behind the organizations and the systems and take from this world only those Christians, those who are saved by the grace of God. We have learned in recent weeks, as we considered this church that he loved and gave himself for, that in the New Testament the word church is a translation from the Greek, which means a called out company, a gathering, or an assembly of God's people. We see in the scriptures how the Lord describes it as a flock, as a building, as a temple, as his body, as his bride, and in a number of other ways. We found also that the church had a beginning. Just as the nation of Israel, God's chosen earthly people, as recorded in the Old Testament, had a beginning in the life of Abraham, so the church of Jesus Christ had its beginning. The Lord Jesus himself said in Matthew 16, "Upon this rock I will build my church." He spoke of the church as being something in the future. And we see the church as it comes into its beginning, its birth, shall we say, as recorded for us in the second chapter of the book of Acts. And since then, all who have been born again through putting faith in Jesus Christ have become members of this body of Christ. Again, according to Acts 2, they who have believed upon him have been added to the church. He adds to the church daily those such as are being saved. Friend of mine, are you saved? Can you say, "Yes, by the grace of God, I know that I have been saved"? The Bible tells us, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The Philippian jailer said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" He wasn't worried about the heathen in Africa. He was worried about his own lost soul. The Apostle Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Paul said of himself, "Unto us which are saved." The Apostle Paul knew that he had eternal life. John even says, "This is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who has not the Son of God has not life." Listening friend of mine today, either you have life because you have Christ, or you have not eternal life because you have neglected or refused to receive the Christ of the living God. John goes on to say, "These things have I written unto you who do believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." I trust you who are listening today know that you have eternal life. And if you're doubtful, if you're uncertain, if you're not settled as to whether or not you're going to heaven, by the grace of God, receive the Christ of God. Trust him. There's nothing in your hand you can bring, no strength you can have to work and earn salvation. God says the gift of God is eternal life. Will you receive it? Will you trust him? Will you accept him? He wants you as a part of his body, of his bride, of his church, of this one thing that is so precious and valuable to him, that when he returns, he's going to take out his church. Every blood-bought Christian, just as those missionaries in the Congo had to put a few precious items into a suitcase and run for their very lives, so the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back and will claim for himself what he has already purchased with his own blood at Calvary's cross. A few more thoughts about the church. There are some things about this body, this building, this bride that we should know. First of all, from Ephesians chapter 4, we find that the church of Jesus Christ is made up of one single body. Now, man has divided it into many different little cliques and groups and denominations. But when God sees it, he either sees us in Christ or out of Christ. He doesn't accept us because we have been brought into some denomination or organization or system. We are accepted only on the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ. And by the grace of God, he, through the Holy Spirit, adds us to his body, regardless of what affiliation we might have, or in spite of it, as the case might be. Friend of mine, I'm not asking, are you a church member? I'm asking, are you a member of the body of Christ? Are you saved by the grace of God? Have you had a personal relationship, a personal dealing with the Christ of God? Christ has one body, and it's made up of blood-bought, born-again children of God, those sinners who have acknowledged their guilt and their sin and received the Savior as their own. Since Christ has but one body, he also has but one head. And the only head that the church of Jesus Christ has is in heaven. That's Christ, the one who died that we might live. And all believers, consequently, are members of that one body. Not of any one particular little group here on earth, but members of the one body, the body of Christ, which he will soon come and claim for his own, having, as we said earlier, already purchased it with his own blood. While he is in heaven, the head, while the church is here on earth, he has left one vicar or one representative. And that vicar you can read about in the 14th chapter of John's Gospel. He is none less than God the Holy Spirit. And since he purchased it with his blood, the Lord Jesus did, since he left a Holy Spirit to indwell it, the church of Jesus Christ, the church that he loves and will soon come for, is a holy church. It's a called out group of people. And in order for this church to maintain holiness, in order for this church to reach out into the lost, godless world and bring in those who know not Christ, he has left gifts for the church, to build up the church and to reach the church. He calls these evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But furthermore, under Israel's economy, there were certain men and certain men only who could be priests. But from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 9, all believers today are called by God priests of God. They're in a royal priesthood and a holy priesthood. Oh, beloved friend of mine, if you're in Christ, you're precious to the Lord Jesus. And he's coming soon for every single Christian. If you're out of Christ, he's not coming back for you. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a child of God, if you haven't been born again, you can expect only his judgment and his wrath. But if you belong to him, you are precious to him. And it's said of Christians, unto those of us who believe, the Lord Jesus is precious. I trust he's precious to you.